I will be reading from from John chapter 11, 25 through 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. We miss you when we're not here, and we're glad to be back. And I just want to stop and tell you guys I love you. I don't think I've said that in a while. Do you know that? Charity and I, we love you a bunch. We're grateful for the opportunity to live here among you, to be included as your family, and to serve God together with you. We love you very much, and we also thank you for giving us time off as a church to take a little vacation trip, get a little refreshment of mind and spirit perhaps, and we want to surely take the time to thank you for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, be turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It just dawned on me that... Can you hear me? Am I plugged in? It just kind of dawned on me that as I was sitting there this morning that I was going to get rid of the introduction I had prepared and switch it for another one. So if you listen to the internet sermon, it might be a little bit different, the notes there. How many of you watch the History Channel? We're a good class of people, aren't we? Oh, I just love to watch that History Channel. It's really neat. Sometimes it's not. I was watching it here not too long ago, and guess what they dug up over in the Middle East? They dug up a sarcophagus. You know what that is? We call them caskets. They call them sarcophaguses. And they dug up one, and guess what it said on the side of it? Guess who was in the sarcophagus? Well, by the name on the outside of the box, it was Jesus Christ. Do you remember that? Anybody remember that? Raise your hand if you remember that. I'm glad there's a few. Okay. On the History Channel report, they showed a picture of this white sarcophagus with the name Jesus Christus on the outside of it. And the world just went, aha! I knew it! Oh, a lot of people in this world are... See, there's a Jesus. There he is. He's in a box. You Christians, you don't know what you've been doing. You guys are just a bunch of idiots. There's a lot of people in this world that thought that. They wanted to assign Jesus a place among the bones. They wanted to keep him dead. You see, because this world doesn't really mind worshiping dead people. Go check out some other religions in this world and you'll see what I'm talking about. People that hold faith and have faith in people whose bones are still dead and in the grave. But church, I'm here to proclaim to you the truth of God's word this morning, and that is that Jesus is not dead, but he is risen from the grave. And Paul tells us that. Well, let me tell you what. If you don't know 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I hope you do by the end of the day. Paul just opens up God's word and he says, "Let me talk to you about the resurrection." So you know what, church? Let's talk about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to keep up on my notes just in case I decide to need them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 11, we'll begin with. Paul says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received also, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. The Apostle Paul begins here, and he begins talking about Jesus. He begins talking about the gospel, which is the good news. And the good news is the fact that Jesus did die. And the good news includes the fact that he was buried. He was sealed in the tomb. Joseph of Arimathea came and got Jesus' body and put it in his own tomb and rolled the stone in front of the door and the Roman guards placed the seal there because the Jews thought that somebody's going to come steal him away. But folks, Jesus did not stay in the grave. There's your good news. The good news comes through the resurrection, because death could not keep its hold upon him. What a tragedy that would be if Jesus were still in the tomb. What a tragedy, church, that would be if Jesus were still in a box, a sarcophagus. But he is not. He rose from the grave, and did you hear in our reading the witnesses? Peter, Cephas saw him. The 12 apostles saw him when he raised from the grave. And then 500 brethren all at one time saw him. Church, how big of a crowd do we have here this morning? Actual number or preacher's count? I'm going to go with 140. Let's triple that. Three times this size, saw Jesus all at the same time. There was a cloud of witnesses that can testify to the fact, and Paul says, hey, some of them are alive even at the time that he's writing this. That's what you call attestation, brethren. There are people living who can substantiate the fact that Jesus did raise from the grave, and they saw him. There's proof to it. And I like that. Verses 12 to 19, as we go on, says, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testify against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, verse 16, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. Boy, let me tell you what, just doesn't come any plainer than that. He says, let me tell you what, folks, if there is no resurrection, and you know what? It could be pretty easy for us as a people, as we live in these physical bodies. How many of you have seen someone resurrected from the dead this morning? Anybody here? nobody here. We've not witnessed it. We've not seen that. We've not been a part of it. We understand when the body dies, we've not seen anything else. It could be a human thing for us not to understand the resurrection, but God says, hey, I want you to understand it because it is true. He says here in our text, if there is no resurrection, then Christ is still dead. In other words, death defeated him. Death kept its hold on him. In essence, death mastered him. He is not all-powerful if he's in the grave. And Paul says, our preaching is empty. Let me tell you what, church, this morning, if Christ has not raised from the dead, I'm just going to go pack my bags and move somewhere where it's warmer. Although I sure like y'all a bunch. If Christ is not raised from the dead, I have no business standing behind this pulpit facing you this morning. I have no message to give you. Paul says the same thing. He says if there is no resurrection, your trust and your belief in God is empty. It's vain. If you believe that God will leave you in the grave to rot forevermore, you have no hope. Not only that, Paul says, above that, he says, us apostles would be found to be false witnesses. If we are testifying on behalf of God that Jesus was raised from the grave, then that would make us liars, false witnesses. In fact, testifying against God Himself. Now, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to court, but there's one person I don't want sitting over there on the other side when I'm on this side. I don't want to be testifying against God. And neither did the apostles. Because God Himself declared Jesus to be His Son through the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. If there is no resurrection, Paul says, then we are still in our sins. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, if Jesus was found to be still in that tomb, you and I, we would all be connected to our sins. There is no separation of sin in our lives without Jesus being raised from the grave. It's a part of the package. You know, oftentimes when we think about Jesus, we think about Him on the cross. And we stop there. Isn't it? Did you ever get in that rut? But He wants us to remember that He not only went to that cross, but He was laid in that tomb. And He wasn't just laid in that tomb, but He was raised from the grave. What a powerful thing that is to testify to. And even in all that, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, then those of us that have already died have simply perished. And then, verse 19, I think the NIV says it this way. If only in this life have we hoped, we are above all men to be most pitied. Church, I don't know about you, but sometimes I lose my focus on where my hope is. We just went on vacation, went up to Charity's dad's house in Montana, up at Yellowstone Park, and I looked at the grandeur of the mountains, and I looked at the eagles, and I looked at those big trout I was catching, and I looked at the buffalo and the elk and the deer, and I looked at all these majestic things, and I was just going, wow, isn't this cool? And you know, there for just a little bit, I almost forgot where my focus was. I almost forgot for just a split second there that our God had created all those things. Do you ever get that away? Do you almost lose your focus sometimes? God wants us to be focused on, to have our hope, not in this world, not in a sunshiny day or a snowy day, whichever your preference is. I know I'm outnumbered there. But to have our hope in a risen Savior. Let's look at verse 20 through 28. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, after those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. For he has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he has accepted who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subject to him, then the Son himself also will be subject to the one who subjects all things to him, so that God may be all in all. Paul begins this section and he says that Jesus is the first fruit of the dead. How many of you have thought of the story of Lazarus? You know, Lazarus died and Jesus raised him up from the dead. Y'all like that story? How would you like to have been Lazarus? Die, get raised, and then die again? You ever thought about that? Jesus, church, was the first fruit among the dead. He is the first one to be raised from the dead and stay raised, which is going to be our end, all of us. Jesus was the first one to be raised and go to heaven and stay in heaven. He is the first fruit among the dead. And he paved the way for the rest of us for eternal life with God the Father. Death came through Adam, but life comes through Christ. What an allegory that is, showing the first man, how death came through him, and the last man, how life comes through him. Adam was a consequence of the flesh, but Jesus was an intention of the Father. And those who belong to Christ at his coming will be raised for eternal life with the Father. The text says, then comes the end when Jesus will hand over the kingdom to the Father, having abolished all rule, authority, and power. And it's interesting here that he lumps in rule, power, and authority. He lumps that in with the enemy. Church, I am excited to tell you something. When the Lord comes again, the Internal Revenue Service will cease to exist. I know y'all will be happy about that. When the Lord comes again, there will be no more earthly kings. There will be no rules. There will be no powers. There will be nothing. Because they will all be subject to Christ. And finally, the last enemy will be put down. Boy, I hope the Lord comes soon, because I sure don't like doing funerals. Although there's a certain part of doing funerals that's okay, because you get really close to the families, and I enjoy that part. But it's so hard to see people hurting and grieving. It's really hard when you lose a loved one. But when Jesus comes again, death will be put down. Death is the last enemy, and it will be put down. It will be put away forever. It will be gone. Now that's exciting, isn't it? That's exciting. It will be cast into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Gone. At that time, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, as Paul tells us in Philippians 2. What a day that will be. Let's look at verse 29 through 34. Now, this gets pretty interesting here. verse 29 through 34. Otherwise, that's a pretty key word when you're reading something to try to understand it. Here he comes out and he says, otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? Why are we also in danger every hour? I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If from human motives I fought wild beasts at Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived, Paul says. Bad company corrupts good morals. Be sober-minded as you ought, and stop sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Baptized for the dead? Oh boy, I can't wait to hear this one myself. I'd like to hear what you think about this before I tell you what I think. You know, there's an idea floating around that in the first century that people were being baptized for people who have already died. And you know, that even exists today to some degree. But you know, in my study of the first century, I don't find that idea anywhere. But in context, I'm not saying that it did not exist. I'm saying I haven't found it. But I can tell you that in context, we are talking about the resurrection of the dead. If Jesus has not been raised from the dead, you're just being baptized into a dead guy. That's just kind of like, just common sense. That's the flow. That's the context of what... If there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ truly is in a sarcophagus or buried in the ground somewhere. And guess what? You've been baptized into Christ and He's still dead laying in the grave. You're just baptized into a dead nothing nobody. That's kind of what I get out of it. If you get something else, let me know after church. I'll be glad to listen to that. Not only that, if there is no resurrection from the dead, and Paul says, you know, I fought wild beasts at Ephesus, and I did that for nothing. Now, how many of you have wrestled a bear lately? Or fought a lion? Man, I saw some wolves at Yellowstone Park I wouldn't want to tangle with. They were eating a buffalo. I'm not as big as a buffalo. Paul says, man, if I fought those beasts for nothing, if Christ was not raised from the dead. And then he goes back to something Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 22. The Israelites kind of have this idea, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Man, I'm afraid there's a lot of people in this world that live for today. They don't consider anything past today. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, church, you might as well go down to Slick Willie's and have a beer. Have 10 of them. Have 20. Who cares? That's Dan's interpretation of what Paul's saying. He's basically saying that. Do whatever you want to do because it really doesn't matter. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then God's ultimate plan for salvation has failed. That's what Paul is saying. There is no good news. Oh, but he's not saying that. He's saying there is good news. And at the end of this text, he says here, stop sinning. Paul, I think about what he says in Romans chapter 6, shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound or increase? What is our approach to our Christianity? And here he says, look, stop sinning. Jesus has been raised from the grave. We're not going to live every day according to the pleasures thereof, but we're going to live according to the scheme of redemption. We're going to live according to the gospel plan of salvation. That's what God calls us to. So he says, stop sinning in that regard. Verses 35 through 49. If I lose my voice, somebody's going to have to get up and finish this for me. Glenn, you better get ready. 35 through 49. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body do they come? You fool. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body just as He wishes, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory. So also in the resurrection of the dead, it is sown a perishable body, but it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it's raised with power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth. He's earthy. The second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Boy, let me tell you what, church, I am so glad that Paul wrote this to us. But did you get the very opening remark here? Some will say, well, how are the dead raised? What kind of body do they have? Now, you know I can ask that question in more than one way. Hey, how's the dead raised, and what kind of body do they have? Or I could do this. Got to get on the other side of the pulpit for effects. How are the dead raised? Well, what kind of body are they going to have? You see the difference? Now, how do I know exactly what's going on? At least by Paul's answer, Paul says this, you fool. So I'm going to go with this one. I think their question wasn't all sincere and everything, because Paul answers, and Paul's this inspired writer, God himself said, you fool. And then he goes on to explain an allegory of a seed planted. I tell you what I did. I planted tomato plants, and I planted 50 of them, church. I know you've heard this before. I did this once upon a time. I don't intend to plant all of those, okay? If I have extra, I'm going to bring them up here and set them out for y'all. But I bought these little seeds down at Walmart. A whole bunch of them come in a little bitty package. I want to get y'all woke up, okay. And I took these seeds and I put them in the ground 1/4 inch deep. Then I put some water over that. And you know what happened over the next week or so? The seed popped up out of the ground, started growing. Now it's a really big seed. Now how many of you buy into that? That ain't what happens. I planted that seed and what happened? Did a seed come up? No. The seed died. The outside of that seed rotted, and it germinated. There's your word. And from the inside of that seed came forth something that looked totally different than the seed. I got some healthy tomato plants about yay tall. They're pretty. They don't look nothing like a seed. It's a beautiful planets. Mine might even have a little purple in them. I haven't figured that out. Maybe I'll have purple tomatoes. I don't know. But the plants are pretty. But they're not like the seed. You know what? Our bodies, church, your physical suits you're wearing right now, they're just seeds. This outside shell that we have, that's not what's going to go to heaven. But it's what's planted. When we are planted in the watery grave of baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, it's not the seed that comes up. Donna Smith is sitting back there, still sitting back there. Oh, we planted her in the water of baptism, and when she come up out of there, it wasn't Donna Smith that come up. It was that inside germination of change that God changed her. Right? The seed didn't come up. It was just what's planted. Now, this is a physical story, right? You making the spiritual implications? We plant ourselves in Christ spiritually. And it's not all the outward manifestations of our flesh and of the human nature and all that business that take hold. That's not what's meant to be. Some people spend an entire lifetime making their life about things, about toys, about fishing trips. I gotta admit, I like fishing trips, okay? But you gotta stay, hang with me here, you know what I'm saying? People tend to make life about things, about outward tangible things, but God says, no, that's not it. These things die. And from the inside of us, God wants to bring forth what He has intended for us. You see, we were sown perishable. We were sown in dishonor. We were sown in weakness. We were sown a natural body. But church, there is a day coming when we will be raised from the grave just as Christ was, and we will be raised imperishable. We will be raised to glory. We will be raised with power. We will be raised with a spiritual body just as Jesus was. That's what I want to be a part of, don't you? Then he goes back to the Adam Christ analogy as he wraps that up, and he says if we get hung up with being a seed that is planted, that's all we're going to do is return to the dust of the ground. We're not meant to stay in the dust. We're not meant to be people of dirt. We're meant to be spiritual beings given for the Lord and His purpose. Let's finish our text up as we finish up our hour this morning. Verse 50 through 58. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Not all will sleep, but we will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and will be changed forever. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Wouldn't you want it to be that way? How many of you want to take your suit that you're wearing right now, I'm talking about your skin, how many of you would want to carry that into eternity with all its frailties, bumps and bruises, and lack of hair and everything else? It's not about flesh and blood. flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. When we are raised, all of us will be changed. Church, it's my understanding that there will be a physical, bodily resurrection. Your physical suit you're wearing right now will be raised from the grave. But it ain't going to heaven, because the text says we will all be changed. It says not all will sleep. What's that talking about? You know what? If the Lord comes right now, we won't have had time to die, will we? But guess what? We still ain't going to heaven physically. We're going to be changed into that spiritual suit in which God has intended us to be. Yet, church, we spend all of our lives taking care of the physical suit, don't we? Man, if I get a bump or a bruise, I go to the doctor and I spend all my life focused in on this physical, taking care of this physical. And you know what God says? Hey, I want y'all to be thinking about the spiritual. Because it's the spiritual part of us. That's what's destined for eternity with God. And death will be swallowed up in victory. Physical death will not happen anymore. Then he goes on, let's look at what this says. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? That's pretty interesting. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And he goes on there to talk about that, but listen to what he's saying here. Death will be swallowed up in victory. But there is a correlation to what he's talking about here between a physical death and a spiritual death. If you get to listening to what he's talking about, physical death will end. But death has a sting to it. How many of you have been stung by a bee or a wasp? Man, I remember this red hornet that zapped me. I was out there with a tennis racket. That's how to kill hornets. I'm telling you. I look like somebody, just one of these incredible tennis players. I'm all over the place. I killed 20 or 30 of them, and then this one lone wasp come down there and hovered just out of my range, and I'm waiting for him. Well, his buddy snuck around back and nailed me. And there's this little pen-like thing that's a sticker. And it goes in your skin, and it pumps some juice in there that's not friendly. It's got poison in it. This word sting has to do with poison. The poison of death, church, is an everlasting separation between you and God. Well, I think we need to stop worrying about our physical bodies. We need to understand that there's a poison that can carry on way after death is ended. Death of the physical body. And that's the poison that would take you to hell, or take me to hell. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 says, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." The Lord was raised from the grave. And church, every person here, every last one of us, will be raised from the grave. Some, John says, to a resurrection of life, and some to a resurrection of judgment. It's my intention to get us to think about what kind of resurrection we will have, because we know for sure that the Lord was resurrected from the grave. You remember I was talking about the sarcophagus? Interesting thing happened. I don't know if you remember when that first came out, all the whole world was like, I knew it, you know. Everybody was jumping on the bandwagon. CNN, Fox, everybody had this, you know, you could go see this thing. I mean, it was really something. But over in the Middle East, they've got people that do nothing but make things like this and sell them to make money. Or they take old pieces and they add a little carving here and there to them to try to make it worth more. Because, buddy, if you can place Jesus in that box is worth more than you could ever imagine. Because that box just broke the truth of Christianity. Well, they got this little sarcophagus out and they decided they was going to examine it. And guess what they found? The word Jesus was on it. But somebody added the word Christos on it. There's a lot of people named Jesus in the first century. But you see, if I get out my hammer, my chisel, and I chop out Christ on them, I've got something that's worth a whole lot. It was nothing but a fanciful lie to keep Jesus dead. Church, we serve a risen Savior. He's not dead. He's living. Praise be to God that He is. Because He was announced to us to be the Son of God through the resurrection. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. So this morning, I want to leave with you the good news. The gospel is that Jesus died for our sins. That He was buried and that He was raised from the grave. And in so much as you believe it and you take Him on as your Lord through the death, the burial, and the resurrection in baptism, you too will be raised to walk in newness of life. You'll be raised to eternal life with the Father. You will not be raised to judgment. Church, it's my hope that not one person here will be raised to judgment, but that we would be raised to eternal life through the Father. If you have a need this morning, or maybe you're not a Christian, we welcome you to come. If you have something we can help you with, please come as we stand and sing.